Yeah, man. So, Kev, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. We last time we saw you was at Invest Fest.
Yeah.
And before that, we was at Lake Como.
Yeah, Lake Como. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, you know,
yeah, this
is the third time a charm. So, yeah, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for changing your travel schedule. I know you was in Dubai, but you know, you came back home for us. So we greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I mean, when your brothers call, you got to show up. So I put up.
That's a fact. So, all right. So you run, you know, an extremely large oil and gas company. But how did you get started? You know, what's the backstory to actually how you got up and running? Because you're still, you know, young yourself. So how did you get started into this business?
Well, I don't know if you are aware, but I actually went to college in the U.S.
Atlanta?
No, I was in the D.C. area.
But you was in Atlanta, though, right?
I was in Atlanta.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Shout out D.C.
All the Africans live in Atlanta and D.C. That's where all the Africans live in America.
Yeah, so I went to George Mason University, and then when I finished, I decided to move back to Ghana in the D.C., Virginia, you know, area. I'm sure there are some people from the area, as they call it, in the house. And afterwards, I decided to come back home to figure out how I can also contribute to Ghana. It was very challenging initially because I didn't have, you know, people always think people make moves with plans, with business plans. There was nothing like that. I was done with college. I had a great job as an accountant making $72,000 a long time ago, and that was good money. And I just picked my bags and I said, I'm going to Africa. Friends are like, what? I'm like, I'm going to Africa, you know? I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I knew that I wanted to do something on my own. So I decided to make the move back to Ghana. I didn't start originally in oil and gas. I started with the telecom sector. But before, I think a lot of people over here are always trying to figure out, how do I make the initial move? You know, in terms of like trying to do something, whether it's business or whatever entrepreneurial journey you want to take. And what I want to say is, please don't always try to figure out the answers before you start. If you want to go ahead to do stuff, just do it. Just start. Just start something. You'll figure it out. Because I started, I didn't have a plan. When I was in the U.S., I worked and, you know, put myself through college. And the excess money that I had, that's what I lived off when I came, because the first couple of years, I was in the learning phase. I worked for free for my sister, who was an entrepreneur, and I come from an entrepreneurial background. My father was a very successful entrepreneur, and my mom was an entrepreneur in her own right. So it was just genetically, I was exposed to that, and that's what I wanted to do. But it was really challenging. It was really tough. I had to work for free for a long time. I was my sister's driver and her PA at the same time, learning the ropes of how things work in Ghana and stuff. And I didn't have any capital, because the money I had, I needed to survive off that. I also had a child, and I needed to take care of my child in DC. So it was very, very challenging. But I had an idea in the telecom sector. As an entrepreneur, persistence is so key and so fundamental to the success of whatever you're doing. When I had a telecom idea, I went to a telecom company. I used to go there every day for 6 months. They used to tell me to leave. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna leave unless you give me this opportunity. After about 6-7 months, the CEO walked out one day, called the head of, I think, contracts or something. His name was Adlai, I'll never forget it. She said, Adlai, give Kevin the opportunity, because this guy would not stop showing up at our office. Literally, I was just posting there every day, just telling him, listen, give me the opportunity, and I'm gonna create something which is gonna bring wealth to both us, like, you know, myself and the telecom company. And now I had this telecom amazing contract. I needed $100,000. I didn't have $5,000 to my name, but I need $100,000 before I can start. So what do? I go into a bank. I didn't have any collateral. I go into a bank. I see the CEO of a bank at 5 p.m. I present what I have to him. You know, the man looks at me. He tells me, all right, let's go downstairs. So his office is on the fifth floor. We go to the banking hall. He tells the lead teller, give him a bank draft of $100,000 to the telecom company. And tomorrow, Kevin, come and fill the application forms for the loan we are giving you today for 6 months. He believed in me because I believed in myself. He could see that. I believed in myself. Yeah. So he told me, he said, I have a limit of $100,000. And if you don't pay this money, I'll be sacked, literally. You have 6 months to pay this money back. The man believed in me because my story was very compelling and he could see that I really wanted to do well for myself and believed in my ideas. So basically it was because of the idea. Now, fortunately, I was able to pay the money back within 2 months. So then that opened other doors for me. And that's how I moved from telecoms to oil and gas. I mean, bottom line, that's how I started. So I started in telecoms, but I started with the idea of belief and persistence and just going for what you believe in.
So what's the first thing that you did in the oil and gas space?
Ooh, so oil and gas, the first thing I started doing oil and gas was in the trade. I started with the trading sector. So I looked at oil and gas and I found it surprising. How do people go deep in the ocean and find oil and gas? So I was really interested in that. And we tried in 2006 to apply for an acreage in the ocean. I was 26. I didn't have any technical or financial muscle to do that. And the government of Ghana rejected our application and told us we don't have the financial or technical capabilities, which is true. So what did I do? I decided to invest my telecoms profits that I've made to create and build the capacity, both the financial and the technical capacity, to get into the oil and gas. So I reinvested the proceeds that I made. So I could have gone out balling on Lamborghinis and stuff, but I believed in my dream. So I made a transition from, you know, investing in myself, investing in my business, investing in what I believe in. That's how I made a transition from telecoms to oil and gas.
You, real quick, because I'm going to let you go, but you said that you had to apply to get acreage. That's so foreign to us. So you found a like water and said, like, we want this space. How did this process go? Like, you knew that was here? Like, how did it go?
So it's quite interesting. I mean, currently I own an asset, which is like the size of New York City. So it's about Central Square.
Make some noise for that, man.
Yo, this is not an everyday thing. What?
Yeah, I own an asset deep in the ocean. It's about the size of New York City. It's about 70 kilometers, you know, in the ocean. If you're on a chopper, it will take about 45 minutes to get there. On a chopper. If you're on a boat, maybe 8 hours, but it's about the size of New York City. It's really huge, and you literally got to use something this big to find oil. Now think about it. It's very, very tedious. Yeah, deep in the ocean. So what happens is you on your own go to the government and say, hey, I think this area has potential of having oil or gas or whatever it is, and you want to do a partnership with the government. You're going to invest all your money. You're going to take all the risk. If you lose money, well, that's on you. If you win money, the government gets a good, you know, a percentage of it, a part of it. And you share the profits with the government. And it took me literally, I applied in the first application in 2006, they told me I didn't have the capability. I went back, built the capability, and came back in 2012 and reapplied. Then they were like, this is not made for Ghanaians. I mean, we didn't even make the laws thinking someone from Ghana is going to do it. Now, think about it. Even our brothers in Nigeria had not done it deep in the ocean. You, a Ghanaian, want to do this? Are you out of your mind? Because you have to understand, a lot of times people think of their own challenges as your challenges, right? They don't see your ambition is not as, you know, ambitious as theirs or whatever it is. So I reapplied. It took 6 years. 2012. Then it took 4 years of me basically knocking on the doors of government to say, listen, just give me the opportunity to prove that we too can do it. That's all I was trying to say. So I just wanted to change the narrative because, you know, a lot of times we believe that we as minorities cannot do things. You know, we cannot go to space. We cannot do other things because certain things are reserved for. Let me give you an example. If you tell some of your friends, you're thinking about building a spaceship to go to the moon, they're going to tell you what?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Exactly. So they're looking at me, telling them I'm going to go into the ocean to find oil and gas. Like, nigga, you out of your damn mind. Really, that's how they felt. But I don't blame them because that's what we know. We've only seen other people of color do it. We all are a product of our surroundings, you know? So if you don't see people like you doing stuff, sometimes you just think it's not possible for people like us to do stuff. But I wanted to just basically change that. And after being persistent for you know, 4 years, they were like, okay, you know what, go ahead. Let's see what you can do, you know. Yeah, we're going to watch you make a fool out of yourself. And lo and behold, we went ahead, we drilled. We currently have over 2 billion barrels of oil and a whole lot of gas.
We'll clap it up.
You know, so it just tells you that we are so capable of doing so much more than we think we can do.
Absolutely.
We basically put self-limitations on ourselves. I mean, we put limitations on ourselves, and I think we are in competitions with ourselves. We need to just push ourselves and have, you know, a lot of belief in us to achieve whatever our goals are.
I'm sure somebody in the crowd has an amazing idea for 2024. Can you talk to us about how to overcome that fear, be relentless as hell, and going after what we want to make that a reality?
There are a few things which, a couple of things which I think is very important. The first thing I want to talk about is people of color who are blessed with wealth and opportunity. We tend to think that entrepreneurship and success is a zero-sum game, meaning if you get $1 billion, then I cannot get $1 billion. So if I hear that you're doing something great, which has the potential for you getting $1 billion, but because I have half a billion, no, you can't do that. I'm going to do whatever I can, or maybe I will not do anything to help you, which will enable you to get to that goal. So a lot of what I have noticed is that a lot of wealthy black people don't want other people with potential to do well. So I think that is the first thing that we need to focus on, how to accept the fact that we all can be successful. All of us. There's no Absolutely. Reason why no one here shouldn't be. You know, it's perfectly fine that we all can be successful. And the second thing that I want us to go into 2024 with is that you can do it too. You can do it too. What's the difference between you and Elon Musk? Does he have two heads? Until you show me someone that has two heads, don't tell me I can't do it. You don't know what I'm capable of. Yes, I understand, you know, so you should believe in yourself, because that self-doubt is what is really killing us. So these are the two main things I want us to really go in 2024 with. You know, let's see how we can help each other, and let's have some faith in ourselves and believe we can do it.
As a follow-up, real quick, where does that belief in yourself come from? Because not everyone has that. And the most important thing that I want everyone to leave with here is that they can do it, but where does that undying belief from yourself come from?
I mean, as I said, I think we are all a product of our surroundings. You know, I moved back to Ghana. I didn't have a plan. Even, it was very difficult. I used to run out of gas. I didn't have money to buy gas. I used to run out of gas. But not once did I feel like I was poor. Psychologically, I felt like my money was coming. It's just a matter of time. So I've always had that feeling. If you sit there thinking, It ain't gonna work out. Probably ain't gonna work out. But if you believe it's gonna work out, failures are gonna come through your way. However, these failures are actually lessons to get you to where you need to get to. So that's where I get that. That's where I get that from, man.
I love that.
Quick follow up to that. Oil and gas is a competitive space, right? And so as you're breaking new ground, especially for the country, what is it like from the competition? What kind of challenges are you facing? I'm sure there's people that are like, no, we can't let him win.
Oof. Yeah, it was a tough one because I'm the first of our kind to really break through. It was really challenging. So a lot of entities tried their best to ensure that I will not be able to achieve that. Now, let me give an example. I was in a meeting with a company in Houston, oil and gas company. So, you know, we're all doing well. We're having a chat. So it's like, so how did you start? I'm like, well, I took the profits that I made in my downstream, which is the trading business, reinvested all my profits in the upstream, because, you know, when you drill one well, it's about $100 million. One well, $100 million. And I didn't have no bank loan, okay? No bank is going to give me a loan. No local bank has the ability to help, and no foreign bank, because I'm black. You're crazy. We're not going to give you any money. So the guy was looking at me, and I'm like, I reinvested my profits. He said, you did what? He said, when I set up my company, I resigned from an organization. I set up a company, and Blackstone gave me $400 million. That's how I started. I didn't even have an asset. They gave me $400 million and said, go figure out, you know, which oil asset you can acquire. So he looked at me like, you did what? You used your own what? So it's very challenging, But out of all those challenges comes the blessings and comes the sources. So if you believe in yourself, if you believe in what you're doing, you put your own money in, think about what the next person is going to do or what the bank. So now I have people like, you know, running around me, following me with money, say, you know, just we want to invest in you or we want to give you a loan or whatever it is. But I basically use my own profits. I have no debts, no nothing like that till this day. I still have no loans that I have that I've drawn down on. I have lines, but I have not drawn down on anything. So sometimes if you believe in your stuff, you got to put in your own money. And they don't always expect, because they don't want us to win. You have to understand, they don't want you to win. You know, you got to take it. You got to believe in that. You got to keep it going. You know, I'm going to give you nothing for free.
Right. Stay away from they. But
very important.
Let me ask you this. We were talking backstage. There's a lot of Americans here. And we were talking about people, you know, opportunities in Africa and where in Africa, different things. And you were saying, like, there's just so many opportunities, right? So can you speak on that for the Americans that may want to start businesses or have some investments? You know, what perspective can you give them?
Okay, so first of all, I think that when people look at investment opportunities, the first thing that they think about is capital. I don't agree. I think the first thing you got to think about is an idea, what it is that you want to do. The way I see Africa is this. So I see America or the West as a farm, a very sophisticated farm. They have all kinds of things planted on the farm. And if you want to be successful, you need to find a niche and you have to work at it very hard before you can plant something for it to grow and be successful. That's how I see it. And I see Ghana and Africa as a bare land. You just have to find a spot, get some cow manure, put it there, plant something that you think you can really sell, sprinkle with some water, and then it will work out. So I feel like there's so much opportunity here. However, we don't think of any ideas. And sometimes you figure it out on the ground. My background is accounting and finance. I didn't know nothing about telecoms. I don't know nothing about oil and gas. But I figured out, you know, being around, just being in Ghana. So please don't always think of, oh, I need to find $500,000, or I need to find $100,000, or I need to find... No, just there's so much opportunity here. There are people that came here with next to nothing.
Well, you gave us a great example of the porta potties.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So, like, you were saying, like, so many things that you don't even think about, and then it's like, by the time you actually figure it out, it's already done.
Yeah, but, yeah, because...
Like, the porta potty situation
yeah,
for them.
Yeah, yeah. So because, I mean, what people want to do is people want to follow the train. They want to go where they hear, you know, oh, this line of business is really successful. By the time you hear this a really good line of business, it's over. I mean, people have made the most out of it, and, you know, the entry barrier will be higher, the returns are going to be lower and stuff. And like I said, it could be as simple as, you know, creating any brand, anything at all from here. You know, so it could be real estate, it could be, you name it. I mean, real estate back 10 years ago, 15 years ago was way better than it is today. And the people that got involved back then, you know, I think I gave an example. People that jumped on Tesla back in the day are way better off than people that are trying to jump on Tesla now. But there are a lot of opportunities. You have to just figure it out. I don't want to really direct anyone into any particular space, but it's just so broad. Yeah. And just think about it this way. It's bare land. You basically figure out what you want to plant, you know, and have a successful harvest. So it's your call. You have to figure it out. Your business plans that you did in college and stuff isn't going to work over here. I'm going to let you know that. You know, forget that business plan and this, that. No. You know, SWOT, what was it? SWOT, SOT, SWOT analysis.
SWOT analysis, yeah, yeah.
Forget all that. All that, no. Now, this is the real deal. This is the jungle. This is your, most people have their college degree. This is your master's, your PhD. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
And what I want to let you know is there's so much opportunity and the returns here. The kind of returns you can make here is very difficult to make it in the West a lot of times. Don't sleep on Africa. Do not sleep on Africa. One thing I will tell you is that the wealthiest black man who look like us is from where? Africa. Where did he make the money? Africa. So why are we slacking? I think there's opportunity here for all of us.
What kind of returns are we looking at as an American business person if we come here, plant? What kind of returns are you expecting? And also, from all your successes and failures, what are like the three biggest lessons that you've gained from them?
In terms of returns, I think each and everyone have different expectations. But one thing that I can tell you is that the returns that I have seen in Africa, I don't think I would have seen that elsewhere. I'm going to talk about myself. I have an opportunity that I've invested, let's say I've invested maybe $150 million in an opportunity, and the returns maybe $6 billion. So I don't know what multiples that is, you know, so.
It's a lot, right?
If you do the math, it's a lot.
A whole lot.
But there are some, you know, someone may, like I said, I started with, I didn't have any capital. So you don't look at it as, what am I going to really get out of this? Don't look at it from that side. Look at it as, how do I get over this challenge? So this is a challenge. I want to be able to get over it. Because if you're able to get over the challenge, the success will come after that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't try and figure out the money part, but the money part will come. You know, the returns might be like, I didn't think, I mean, I knew I was going to be successful. I didn't think I was going to be this successful. I ain't going to lie. You know, sometimes I got to pinch myself. Is this real? Like, so you may think, maybe you may be coming to Ghana. You're like, oh, I want to make $1 million. That's what you may think. But the things that you're doing, the opportunity could actually make you $20 million. But because in your mind, you want to make $1 million. As soon as you make $1 million, ooh.
You're comfortable, yeah.
The Lamborghini is about to come out. So, you know, instead of you maybe focusing on, you know, improving the business and, you know, working smart and stuff like that, you set limitations. So I don't really like that part. I think that the opportunities here are really, really unlimited in terms of the rewards. So I don't like it to be that way. I mean, some banks used to give like 10% fixed deposit interest rates. You put your money in the bank, you don't do nothing. They give you 10% per annum. You know, so I'm just saying this, there are real opportunities over here. You just have to figure it out.
You spoke about the wealthiest man, black man in the world. He comes from Africa, comes from Nigeria. I wonder at this level, are there mentors, are there people that inspire you, right? Because what you're doing in oil and gas, I know in Nigeria, that was a project that they were working on, rather than being one of the biggest imports of oil, trying to now become one of the biggest exports of it. Are you guys leaning on each other, or are we just watching success happen and saying that's inspiring, or is there a connection here?
I've never really had a mentor, but which is okay, it's fine. Some people, you know, have mentors, but I've never really had a mentor. However, I think, as I said, we are all a product of our surroundings. You learn, you know, subconsciously from people. I've been blessed to have, you know, a mother and father who were entrepreneurs. I think, looking back now, I've learned a lot from them without even knowing I was learning from them. I have a sister who was an entrepreneur, and I feel I've learned from her without necessarily knowing. I think that, you know, you see people do things, and you might even be in college, or you might be in high school. You might learn from some professors, or, you know. So that's how it worked out for me. I didn't have the opportunity to sit down with anyone who had experience, because first of all, most people didn't want you to get in the business. They saw me as a young guy who's a threat. They just didn't want me to get involved. So I didn't have the opportunity. If you have the opportunity to have a mentor, I think that's a very good thing. I just never had that experience, and it's fine. It's okay. Because if you are serious and you are focused, you're running 100 meters race or 1,000 meter race. You're serious about the finish line. It doesn't matter if someone is giving you a word of encouragement or stuff. However, like I said, I've had people who have given me advice on various things, on personal life and other things, which all play a role in your business life. But I've never had a mentor to steer me. To avoid, you know, mistakes that have been made by them or whatever it is. But it's fine. It's okay to have. It's great to have, and it's okay if you don't have as well.
We talked about some opportunities. What are some challenges that, you know, the continent faces? We were at Davos last year. We were at the Africa House, and they spoke about, you know, not being able to travel from a variety of different countries for African citizens and the trade process, and that was a major concern. And I see, you know, countries now starting to lift travel bans and make it easier and not have. So from your perspective as an African on the continent, what are some challenges that, you know, you think could be improved across the continent as far as business is concerned?
I think the biggest issue that we need to overcome is us, ourselves, and how we deal with each other. That's the most important thing. How we deal with each other is the most important thing. Because, see, divide and conquer is real. So think about it this way. If you are from, let's say, Kenya, and you have the capacity to operate a mining field, and you are a bank in Kenya, and you can give him money to mine the gold or whatever mining field it is, you are cutting out the international banks, you are cutting out all those people. So the issue that we have here is this whole thing of we cannot do it by ourselves. We need aid. We need foreign assistance and stuff like that. So that is really ingrained in us. And if we are able to figure it out that, listen, let's give us, people of color, the opportunity to try certain things. You know, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but believing in ourselves and trying to, you know, help each other, I think is the only way forward. Because by so doing, all these visa restrictions, all these other things, you know, a lot of, some countries give foreign, like, Europeans visa on arrival permit, but an African need a visa. How about that? You know what I mean? So, but if we are really, you know, working together as for the success of the continent, we will let loose all those barriers that we put up. So I think it's more about us dealing with ourselves very well and stop the hypocrisy.
If you were starting a new business in 2024, what would be the five things you would focus on each day to grow that business like 1,000% in 1 or 2 years? We need the real answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I live, I breathe, I sleep oil and gas. I know it inside out. If someone to ask me, would you do it all over again? I'll do it all over again, you know, again and again. So if I'm to start another business, it's going to be in the oil and gas industry. Nothing comes easy. And
of course,
you simply don't even know the answers sometimes. You just figure, like I said, you just figure it out on the job. You know, like you started, you said you want to make 1,000% returns. I just lost a friend right before I got on stage, literally a few minutes ago. Damn. Very good friend of mine, childhood friend.
Sorry.
I'm sure she had plans. Sometimes you may have all these plans, but things don't work out the way it's supposed to work out.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So you may want to make 1,000%. Maybe if you get into the business, you may make 10%, you may make 20%. It is fine. Like I said earlier, you can start a water bottle business. It may last only 2-3 years, but you may make some money out of that. And you may learn some experiences out of that. Out of that, you go into making microphones, which work business.
A needed business.
Yeah.
Need more.
You know, and so sometimes it's okay to start from somewhere. It may not turn out to be what you expected to be,
yeah,
and you transition to something else. But all that is part of, you know, you've been built to something greater. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? So, yeah. So sometimes, yeah, you might want 2,000%. I mean, I think everyone here wants 10,000% returns.
But more importantly, what are the habits that you're doing every day? If you can only pick five things that I'm doing, these tasks in my business, what are some of those to help them going into 24?
I mean, so persistence. Like, you need to be persistent. You can't, you know, you can't just give up because they said no. You can't just give up because you started and you failed. You need to be persistent. Very, very important. You need to do your best to be very honest with yourself. If you know you don't have the ability to put together a team to help you build a rocket, and you don't have the ability to raise the funding to help you build a rocket, don't be going around saying you're going to go to the moon like no one's going to take it serious. You need to be honest with yourself if you really want to be successful. The other thing that I personally believe in is prayer. So I don't know about you. Everyone might have something different, but I believe in prayer. Prayer works for me. So, you know, I go for the two-piece prayer and persistence have always worked for me. You need to really, you know, some people are very good with analyzing situations. You know, I have a friend. He's very smart, but he's not an entrepreneur. But he's a good manager. You know, if you want to jump into the pool, he will go and stand by the pool and dip his toe, come back, analyze all these things. 2 hours, he still hasn't jumped in the pool. As an entrepreneur, if you really believe in what you are doing, you just sometimes just got to go.
Got to go for it.
You just got to go for it. Just do it. You know, don't be trying to overthink it. You're overthinking it, bro. Yeah. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. Two options. What else is there? So, you know, so a lot of times we keep on hesitating. I think we just got to go. Just do it. So these are the things that I believe that should be the basics and the fundamentals to whatever it is that we are trying to achieve in business.
I love it.
You spoke about coming here to Ghana. Obviously, oil and gas was on the forefront of your mind. Are there other countries?
No, it wasn't. I didn't even know about oil and gas.
Before you came.
Oh, okay.
You're still doing telecom. That became the business. Are there other countries on the continent, there's 54 that people should be looking at, that there's opportunities inside of them as well, right? Because we know Ghana, and for America, it feels like this is the first place we got to come. Talk about some of the pros and cons of some of the countries, and where are those countries on the continent?
It's a great question. I mean,
Nigeria is the biggest, you know, country in this region. I mean, I think it's the biggest economy in Africa right now. Definitely, in terms of West Africa, Nigeria is a big dog. It has a lot of opportunity. It has some cons, which I think they are working on, some security issues. But Nigeria has opportunities. A lot of African countries have opportunities. I think we need to stop watching Discovery Channel so much with kids with Koshoko and, you know, flies and stuff. There are real opportunities in Africa. Look, GE is here, Microsoft, they're all on the continent. All these blue chip companies are on the continent. So I don't want to limit any country. I mean, we have operations in other African countries as well, some in the French-speaking countries, Burkina, Mali, all over. So, you know, you just have to figure out what it is that works for you. If it doesn't work for you in Ghana, it doesn't mean it will not work for you in Nigeria. It will not work for you in Congo, you know, Angola, Rwanda, Kenya. I mean, it's huge. It's massive. So you have to figure out your niche and what works. I just believe Ghana is the gateway to Africa. And then through the gateway, you can go.
Clap it up for that.
Well, yeah. Well, you can go wherever else you want to go. So that's my opinion. Africa is open. I mean, Ghana is open for business, but Africa is also open for business.
So we want to thank you. Be generous with your time. My last question is, in 10 years, what's your plan? Where do you see yourself, you know, in 10 years from now?
This hits a bit hard because, like I just said, you know, I lost.
Send condolences too.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, I've lost two close people to me within the last 5-6 weeks. And what I've learned from this is that a lot of times we focus so much on the past and the future, and we don't enjoy, you know, the moment that we are in. I think we need to start enjoying the moment that we are in. We need to start. And what do I mean by that? If there's something that I can do today, I'm going to get it done today.
I love that.
If there's someone that I can help today, I'm going to help you today. I am not going to wait next week, because you know what? This moment is guaranteed. 2 hours from now is not guaranteed. So 10 years from now is not guaranteed. So I think my perspective has kind of changed a little bit from losing friends who were close to me, who I was with a few hours before they passed. And what I'm saying to myself is, I'm going to make the best out of my life on the daily business. Every minute that I'm blessed with, I'm going to make the best out of it. I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm going to do as much as I can. And I'll try and enjoy life as much as I can, because all the plans that we make are not guaranteed. When we leave here, nothing is guaranteed. So my kind of new approach is, yes, I have plans. You know, we want to take over Africa. We want to be able to touch so much lives. You know, we support about 10,000 underprivileged children. We want to move it to about 1 million, you know, underprivileged children. We want to make sure that we are the go-to company in Africa. All those things, yes, they're all well and good. But I want to enjoy the moments. I want to enjoy it now. I want to enjoy all the people that are here in Ghana, you know, and wish everyone the best of luck or whatever it is they are doing now. I'm not going to wait and wish the best of luck whatever they're doing in the next 5 years. So that's how I see life right now.
Make some noise, ladies and gentlemen.
Make some noise for this brother. Thank you.